The longest field goal ever attempted is 76 yards. The longest field goal ever missed? Also 76 yards. Why bring this up? Because knowing your limits matters, both when you're kicking a field goal and when you gamble. Betting more than you're comfortable with is like trying a 70-yard field goal. It probably won't go well. So set a limit when you gamble and stick to it. Want more helpful tips like this? Go to KeepItFunOhio.com for games, quizzes, and lots of ways to keep your gambling from getting out of hand.
Welcome to UFC Unfiltered. Matt Serra, my dear pal, and myself. We almost have a Matt's Movie Minute, but we don't. Who do we hear from today, Matt?
Dana White.
Yes.
And Dennis Bermudez.
And boy, Dennis Bermudez was quite delightful. And Dana drops a couple of amazing things. So you should really listen to this. Even if you hate me and Matt, just fast forward to us. Don't even listen to this right now. Fast forward to it.
UFC and digital media present UFC Unfiltered with Jim Norton and Matt Serra, powered by digital media. Find your voice. And now, your hosts, Jim Norton and Matt Serra.
We are indeed your hosts, and every week I enjoy that music a little bit, twice a week. I kind of want to let it play for a minute, but then I have to talk.
Yes.
Because I'm afraid if I don't talk, I don't exist.
Well, I don't want to talk over you. That's why I like to wait for you to say something.
Next time we'll wait 40 minutes. Let's play in a loop.
It's nice, though. It's not too much. It's not like one of those wacky openings that you hear on like a zoo show or something.
Yeah, no, it's tolerable.
Yeah,
tolerable, I'll give it that.
I like it. It's kind of cool. It's kind of hip, like us.
Yeah.
I just got off a plane last night, buddy. I feel like you.
What time did you come home? I'm first flight in the morning guy. I'm get the fuck out of town immediately guy.
I got home, I got the noon flight. I got back around 6 p.m.
Okay.
Or a little earlier, actually.
Maybe. How was it? Because all this stuff that's happening with immigration and with the refugees, how was the airport?
It was good. The day before at JFK, there was like a lot of protesters and stuff. So I'm like, oh man, I hope I don't fly into that.
Right.
Which I didn't. So everything was
But clean. There was no one there when you... Are they done already protesting?
I don't know, man.
I thought they were still protesting.
Yeah, no, people are still out.
But you didn't have any delays?
No delays.
Car no made delays. It to pick you up?
Wifey came, picked me up. All good. Kids jumping over me. It's all good.
They were happy to see
you? Oh, they love when I come home.
How far do you live from the airport?
Well, you know what it was? They were having like a little bit of a cousin's day. You know, my wife's got a big family, so they were over at Uncle Tony's. Is where they were.
Oh, okay.
And that's in Franklin Square. So that's like around like less than 15 minutes from the airport. So that's not bad. So we met up there and then we went home after that. But I'll tell you, Colorado was a nice trip, man. Denver was awesome. The fights were fantastic, you know.
Well, Denver is known for their altitude. So you might have been feeling a little lightheaded the whole time you were there.
Yes, for some reason I was very lightheaded. I still am.
The altitude, huh?
Oh, yeah, that altitude is amazing.
You need something for that?
But, yeah, I need some stuff to get my head straight. But I'll tell you, I felt it's a different world, man. It is crazy over there.
Have you been there before?
I haven't been there since they made the altitude legal.
Oh.
What the hell are we talking about? But, yeah, it was. I had a great time. You know, Aljo Sterling fought Sansal.
Tough loss.
Close fight. Split decision. I'm going to watch it again. You know, it was close. I thought Aljo was going to get the nod, I believe. But, you know, Aljo's growing with each fight. He's fighting. Yeah. You know, he's in the big show, and we don't, complain about anything. We want the tough fights, obviously. But he's fighting. He's like the last two fights. And these guys are awesome. First of all, what a nice guy that
says.
Oh, what a nice dude. Him and his whole camp, really good guys, and a really good fighter. I mean, he's been around and before that, when Aljo fought Caraway, you know, he's making a lot of improvements.
Sure.
Even though he came up a little short in this one with the judges, he is with each fight. He's fighting guys with a lot more experience. And these are winnable fights. Like these are fights that he's in. It's not like he's out. He's not like he's getting outclassed. It's just it's like on the job training. It's about putting things together now. And I still think his future is very bright.
Yeah, it struck me like I thought he was a little more dominant with his legs, and Sansal was more dominant with his hands.
Yeah, and there's like, you know, a few times punches where it looked like he was like, there was one where like kind of, I don't know, he got his shoulder, it looked like he was off balance, and it might have looked like a takedown, looked like a knockdown. So, you know, you never know what it looks like, but, you know, being there, you know, in his corner, I thought it was going to go, you know, our way. But again, it on a fight like that, you can't complain.
Yeah, close. I think the stat they showed, I'm guessing it was significant strikes, was in favor of Assuncao, 53-50. Like, that's how close that fight was.
You know, yeah, he did, you know, he was throwing some with the hands, and I liked Aljo was using some nice stuff with his legs, and you know, there's certain things that now that I'm thinking about this, we could have done more of and whatnot.
Did those guys show each other? One of the announcers made a point that they might have been a little too respectful of each other because they had an extra long camp.
Yeah, I thought the crowd was a little particularly brutal in that. Where I mean, they were booing in this. I mean, you got to let these guys work. I thought they were a little feisty, the crowd, you know.
Isn't it amazing what crowds boo sometimes?
Yeah, because there's other times people are doing that and they're not as loud, or they're not as, I mean, they get impatient, you know.
They do.
But, hey, listen, it's at the overall, you know, the picture of things, which I don't know what the freaking makes sense. I believe he's going to grow from this.
How did he handle it? I mean, that's a tough loss. It was really tough.
I remember him thinking that he thought he won also, but you know, again, you know, I've had tough decisions also, you know, and again, it's not to the point where it was like, yo, it's not a robbery. You can't say it's a robbery.
Right. It's just one that you kind of thought you might have had.
Yeah, exactly. But hey, listen, like I said, he did things in this fight that Longo was way happier, and stuff he worked on. And, you know, that's good. There's good signs in this. In the big picture, this is going to be good for him.
Well, my picks, obviously, not good. My apology to Aljo, because, of course, I had him picked. I also picked Juliana Pena, and I also picked Cowboy.
Yes.
Boy, I tell you one thing. Longo, you told me Longo picked Masvidal, you were right. He knows what he's talking about.
From the second they got matched up, Longo said that, hey, listen, that stuff that Cowboy's using on these other guys, he's not going to be able to do that to him. He's not going to be. It's funny, Longo, man, because Longo's a funny guy, and you know, he's a big fucking Italian guy. He looks like something out of The Sopranos, but the guy knows his stuff.
Sure.
He knows his stuff, and especially with the stand up, like, you know, I feel like I know what I'm looking at, but not to the degree of Ray Longo,
right.
You know what I mean? Because that guy's been in the game so long, especially with the striking. It's almost like if somebody pulls off something on the floor and then they're going up against somebody else, like the guy's pulling off some submissions and then he's going to fight somebody like Damian Meyer or Jake Shields, and somebody without, you know, oh, well, this guy's good at submissions too, and then I'd look at it and be like,
he's not good like that.
Not quite. Not to that level, right. Not to that degree. And that's what Longo, that's what Longo does with the stand-up. Like, he says, oh, no, this guy's, what Cowboy's catching these other guys with, he's not going to catch this guy with. And he told me, he goes, and this kid is like a street kid, he's going to Nate Diaz him. He goes, he's going to go out there and Cowboy's going to see that the guy's not shook. He's going to take away his shit and he's just going to come forward. And I'm telling you,
he was aggressive, man.
It's amazing how he had that right. Not the fact that he'd win, but he just called that perfectly.
He called it perfectly. Yeah. And he dropped him at the end of, was it the end of the first round?
Oh, yeah, man.
And I had no volume on where I was watching, because I was watching at the Comedy Cellar. So I was like watching, his, you know, a bar and a bunch of, so I didn't realize where they were in the round. And I thought that was the end of the fight. Herb Deeb jumped in and I'm like, they're on the bell. Oh, it's the end of the, he literally got saved by the bell. Because it looked to me like he was fucking out.
And what's funny about that is, I think, and they said it wasn't really, you know, listen, accident. I mean, mistakes happen. But Herb, he actually jumped in there. Who the hell's talking? Is that outside?
Yeah, that's outside the studio.
I tell him to calm down.
He closed the door.
I mean, I got ADD.
Yeah, Matt hears it.
What the hell's the matter with these people?
How come we can hear it?
But anyway, Herb Dean jumped in. And to his credit, they said it was so loud that they couldn't even hear what's going on in there. But he jumped in and stopped it before the bell, right, which was basically saving the guys. Like
he saved him, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, because that was done. That was so done that it makes you wonder what was going on. I want to watch it again just to see what's going on in between the corner, in the corners over there. Like, I don't know who, Greg Jackson was with him, correct?
Yeah.
I want to know what he was saying to him in the corner. I want to see how, because when it began, how about this? The beginning of that second round, Jorge knew. I don't, he made a gesture to him like,
smile, yeah, I got you.
I got you. And, and you could see on Cowboys, the Cowboys, listen, the guy's,
he looked, dude, he looked loopy starting that second round. He looked out of it.
He's a gutsy, gutsy guy.
He's a good fighter.
To get off the stool. Because, yeah. And then, you know, he was, he went out on his shield, man. So you got to really respect that. Because, you know, I think he knew walking into that second round, just, hey, man, this ain't going to get better.
He looked like he hadn't recovered.
Exactly. That's a good point.
He had not recovered from that, from the end of that first round. 1 minute was just not enough time for him to recover.
Not for nothing.
Not in that shitty altitude.
I don't know how many guys could recover from that. That was brutal. That actually should have been a stoppage. It was like almost like he got stopped twice. But that second one, man, wow. Just the way Masvidal would, the second that he the way he'd counter off those kicks, he just like dropped the second he kicked, he was ready for it and boom. Like just a, was it a left right or right left? I gotta
it was a right. I think he caught him with the left that dropped in the second time.
Oh man. I mean, he was something. You know, even Dana, who's going to be on later, we'll ask him, but he even said, yo, he fights like that, he could be a champion.
You know? He really,
look
he
at that.
Beat the shit out of
him. Oh, and what I found very interesting is afterwards, I was, you know, at this point I was watching it, you know, backstage in the locker room, in the green room. Afterwards, when he gave him like a pound afterwards, I noticed he said something to him, you know, in the cage. He said something to him, and it didn't look too nice. Like, Jorge Masvidal said something to Cerrone afterwards. So I'm like, yo, I want to know what the hell he said. It's killing me. I want to know. So they were in the, I went in the locker room afterwards because we were in the same locker room. But he was in there, when he's, you know, he's on his phone and he's celebrating. So I'm not going to go up to him. And
Yeah.
But then later on that night, back at the hotel, me and Longo got a steak. It's not the story. But afterwards,
all I want to do is ask what they got on the side. I'm so willing to sidetrack fucking fatso I am.
I had French fries.
It's all right.
And some rice.
Treated yourself. You had the munchies.
Yeah. Longo had some crab cakes. But anyway, so then we were walking. I saw Jorge. So, you know, Longo was congratulating him. And I go, listen, man, I got to ask you. I go, what did you say to, what did you say to Cerrone afterwards? He goes, no, because I told him. I go, you know me now, right? You know me now? Like, you know me? Like, in other words, he said leading up to the fight.
He had been looking past it.
Leading up to the fight, Cowboys was like, I don't even know the guy. I might have seen him fight, that type of thing. That's what Jorge was telling me. But Jorge goes, yo, man, I worked with him before. I sparred him to the point where he was, you know, he was saying he's better than me here and there. Like, he was dropping to his guard. Like, he was adamant about, yo, this guy knows who I am. Don't act like you don't know me. So after the fight, that carried over. So I thought that was very that was pretty hard. That was pretty hardcore. It's almost not like, yo, good fight. It's like, yo, all right, you know me. You know me now, right?
Yeah, it didn't it seem like you know were looking me. Past that fight. Like I got the. I was gonna ask Cowboy that, but he did he ever call in?
No, we never. No.
So he just kind of stood us up.
still pissed. I seen him there, by the way.
I'm pissed.
At weigh-ins, I seen him. I met his grandmother. That was nice.
Did he say why he didn't call in? Or
you know what it was? That he was about to get weighed in, I'm not going to bring that shit.
No, I don't blame you.
But, you know, but he was friendly, and, you know, he said hello. He was about to go walk out to the scale. He introduced me to his grandma. His grandma was there. And, you know, I mean, listen, the thing is, he's been on a how many fights has he won?
Four, right?
He had won four in a row, yeah.
And listen, man, you see combinations like what he did with Rick Story and dropped out four punches to the kick to the head. I mean, you know, it could make you feel invincible. Who knows?
Yeah.
I mean,
who was he speculating that he was going to fight next?
He wanted to fight Maya.
Because I remember thinking that he is really looking past Masvidal. He's not like he knows. Yeah. It was almost like when Tyson fought Buster Douglas. He was looking to Evander Holyfield. But that was, I don't care what he said, that was kind of where his head was.
Right.
And I think that's kind of what Cowboy was doing.
But he could have, that's the thing, like he probably could have waited to fight Maya. Mm. You know, like he wanted to fight in Denver, obviously, but this is a fight he didn't have to take.
The thing is, this guy, no matter when he fights him or when he would have fought him, is style, you know, stylistically is a problem.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like I said, the second that thing got on paper, Longo called that from the
yes,
day.
Yes, he did.
Goes, and he was adamant about it. Like, yo, he goes, this is the way it's going to go down. You know, and I'm the type to go, yo, man, did you see that combination with with Rick Story? You know, and I like Jorge, too. I'm like, yo, man, he goes, he's not catching him with any of that shit. I'm like, oh, all right. I guess you know what you're talking about, Ray Longo.
He certainly did.
Yeah.
And I thought of him as soon as, you know, as soon as the cowboy got fucking floored, I was like, fucking Longo knows what he's talking about.
Yeah, right.
And let's not forget the main event. And we're not avoiding the elephant in the room. We'll get to it.
Dude, that's not even nice.
The main event.
Oh
no, not you.
I'm saying it's my winter weight.
No. I would have said the doll in the room because you're a little doll.
Can you pass me my sunglasses? I want to look at Chris with his fucking day glow. I thought he was getting away from the flannels. I don't know what I'm looking at, but I need it's yellow and it looks like a checkerboard.
Yeah.
You're bothering me now.
Yeah, it's an awful shirt. We don't
really
like it.
This is a beautiful shirt.
Yeah, it's like La La Land if it was a shirt. We hate it.
Are you done with La La Land?
No, I watched fucking a few minutes. The opening song annoys me so much I can't get through
it. How does it go?
I don't remember. I blocked it out like an assault.
You know what's bad about
fucking
that?
Terrible.
How about this? You told me what
they're all in traffic and they start singing. Good morning.
It's a play.
Fucking
boo. It's a Broadway play. You told me what's sad. You told me we had this conversation last week. I already forgot what it was.
I love Emma Stone.
How sad is that? But is it a TV show or is it?
Oh, it's a movie. It's going to win Oscars. And by the way, there's a huge story to digress. Emma Watson and Miles, what's his name? The other guy, something Miles.
Miles Teller?
There you go.
Yeah.
Originally, we're supposed to do it. And then allegedly, they were both very demanding.
Ooh.
And then they were like, fuck it. And they gave it to Emma Stone and Ryan Gosling. It's the hottest movie of the year. You know, SAG Award.
It's a musical.
But it's a massive. It's a career-making movie. It's like one of those. It's Hollywood loves its own story. She plays an actress struggling. He plays a handsome jazz pianist, you know, and they get together, I guess. Hollywood loves that kind of, and the color's like 1958. It's like fucking CinemaScope color.
But it's a musical, though.
Yes.
You lost me at
I believe me and you both. I don't like musicals. I watch
part
of it.
The only thing I like is West Side Story.
I do hate West Side Story.
If you're when a you're a jet, you're a jet all the way.
If you're a jet, you're a douche. Stinks.
That's horrible.
Fucking horrible.
Come on, I'll tell you that Maria was a looker.
Yeah, exactly. The song was awful. Maria.
She was hot though.
I'm sure. I'm not saying her tits weren't phenomenal. Was that Rita Moreno?
I don't know. That was Natalie Wood.
Is it?
Wait, was it Natalie Wood?
It was Natalie Wood.
Who was Thanks. Rita Moreno? She wasn't in that?
No, oh, man.
I'll kiss you both.
I think you're thinking of Grease.
She in that?
I don't know. I'm guessing.
Grease was a good musical.
Grease is all right.
All right, back to the fight.
What about Rizzo, that whore?
Oh, my God. A hickey from Kinnicky.
Ooh, like a Hallmark card.
I fucking love that.
Oh, shit.
She would wake up and her clit would be out hitchhiking.
She was a whore. She made fun of her. And you know what's messed up about Grease? Sandra Dee was a good girl.
Yeah.
And, you know, and then at the end, he's like, you know, I'm going to try to be a good guy for her. And then she became
exactly
a pig.
Yeah,
she's
exactly.
Dressing all slutty, smoking cigarettes.
And he's kissing men on the lips on a plane steps, and she's fucking got frizzy hair.
Wait, what?
Oh, that's just real life. Sorry.
Oh, okay.
He's pushing his asshole up in the side stairs.
No!
Oh, sorry. I said it wrong.
Ah, Broken Arrow? No, you ever see that?
I love John Travolta, but, you know, I think it's funny.
But...
Please, I behave worse during a massage.
Oh, Rizzo.
Shevchenko, I got to be honest. I did not. We know she's devastating standing up. I had no idea she was as solid on the ground.
I saw Amanda, by the way. I saw Nina. Yeah, they, you know, just letting you know. I ran into a lot of people.
I know. None of them asked for me. That really hurts.
I saw Joanna. She's so cool, man.
She's awesome.
I'm at the Wayne's and I see her like walking past. She's about to say hello to. She's making like she doesn't see me. Then she goes like she's gonna do like a double leg to me or something. I'm like she's just a cool chick, man.
Yeah.
You know. I hope y'all don't embarrass you. I told her that like my radio partner Jimmy's smitten with you. I'm sorry. I hope I don't embarrass you.
Well, embarrass me. She made her annoyed because I'm awful looking.
You know.
All right, Dennis, what's going on, buddy? We got Dennis Bermudez.
Oh, wait, really?
Wait, what happened?
Chris, the producer, something
happened?
Wrong?
It went to voicemail. I'm going to try again.
Oh, we're trying to get him on the phone.
Oh.
Dice? Was that Dice?
That was my Dice. Are you in between jobs and looking to earn some extra money? Of course you are. Do you want to get an extra $500 bonus? Why wouldn't you? Well, we have a gig for you. Lyft, that's LYFT, is a ride-sharing app, and it lets you be your own boss, pick your own hours, earn up to $1,500 a week, driving your own car. There are other rideshare apps out there, but Lyft treats their drivers correctly. It's a flexible way to make extra money anywhere, anytime. All you got to do is have a car and a head. You have to have a head. Lyft drivers can make up to $35 an hour, and getting started is just a tap away. You can drive mornings, nights, weekends. Just flip into driver mode and start making money. See right now? That's me making the money sign with my fingers. Plus, Lyft drivers can earn tips right through the app, which a lot of those ride-sharing apps do not let you do. They really add up fast. And you don't have to wait days or weeks to get paid. You can cash out instantly once you've made $50 thanks to Easy Express Pay. It adds up. Driving with Lyft is super flexible. It allows you to keep 100% of your tips, and it's always there when you need the extra cash. I know a lot of comedians, actors, performers who have done it because this way you make your own hours and you can go on the audition that you're going to flop on, but you can at least go on it and say that you gave it a shot because show business is obviously not for you. So sign up today, lyft.com/unfiltered. And right now, Lyft has a special offer for our listeners. You get a $500 new driver bonus after you complete 100 rides within 30 days, which is pretty amazing. lyft.com/unfiltered. You can start making extra money and get your $500 new driver bonus. Limited time only. Restrictions apply. 100 rides in 30 days. Sounds like a lot. That's like, what, 3 rides a day plus a couple? You can't do 3 rides a day? What do you think? How long do you think these are? People don't take a Lyft from Maryland to New York. It's usually a quick one. You'll have a lot more than 3 a day. Why am I angry? lyft.com/unfiltered. Immediately.
You're listening to UFC Unfiltered with Jim Norton and Matt Serra.
Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans proudly supports UFC Unfiltered. When it comes to the big decision of choosing a mortgage lender, it's important to work with someone you can trust who has your best interest in mind. And with Rocket Mortgage, you'll get a transparent online process that gives you the confidence to make an informed decision. Don't waste time searching through stacks of paperwork. With Rocket Mortgage, you can securely share your financial info to get mortgage approval in minutes. You can even adjust the rate and length of your loan in real time to make sure you get the mortgage solution that's right for you. Whether you're looking to buy a home or refinance your existing mortgage, you can lift the burden of getting a home loan with Rocket Mortgage. Skip the bank, skip the waiting, and go completely online at quickenloans.com/unfiltered. That's quickenloans.com/unfiltered, an equal housing lender, licensed in all 50 states, NMLS, consumeraccess.org, number 3030. Dennis Bermudez is fighting the Korean Zombie's first fight in, 3.5 years.
The fight this weekend.
Yeah, I know, but
on
I want
Fox
to make
Sports
sure.
1.
That's correct.
Thank you.
Yes.
I actually just took a guess.
I don't have the date. It's used that we have the date on different pages. No, but it's on different. Can you put it on the next time? Just on
sure.
The, yeah, thank you, but just so I know to do
you
it.
You know what? He's calling right now, I think.
All right.
Get your shit together.
Hello,
Darth,
Dennis.
Darth Vader.
This is Joe's Bar and Grill. You guys prank calling me over here?
Who is this?
This is Joe's Bar and Grill.
It's who now?
Dennis. I'm kidding.
Oh, wait. No, wait, I want to hear the joke, though. What'd you say?
Is something grill?
Joe's Bar and Grill.
Joe. Well, you know what? That's not. I mean, dude. Let's. I'm a fan of Cooking with the Menace, so that actually does make sense. You do a YouTube show. Is this like a regular show, or is this just one that you did one time?
No, I did it hard for like 6 months, and then it kind of. It takes a lot, you know. So now we're just doing like once a month.
Now, did you get sick and tired of doing it, or did you get bored with it, or what was the hardest part? Getting guest booked.
To get some guests, and then it was, because I could only do so much inside my kitchen, you know what I'm saying?
Right.
And then, and just to be creative and stuff like that, and not repeat stuff I've already done and stuff like that, you know?
Do you watch all those cooking shows? I never watch them. Just some fucking chef with Asperger's yelling at everybody. I can't enjoy them.
I mean, sometimes it's fun. I think I've watched, like, one. He's a little over the top, you know, I like it. Because it makes the people uncomfortable.
So you like to cook. Is that right, Dennis? You like to cook?
I like to cook. I don't like to clean.
Nah, nobody likes... No self-respecting man likes to clean. Unless it's Chris the producer. He's the only guy I can see that would like to clean. But girls probably like that, right? That they know that you could cook?
Yeah.
I can't cook shit.
I mean, if you were to cook for a girl, like, you know, within, like, the second week, you know, like, oh, holy... Well, okay.
Yeah, that's definitely a plus when you could cook. Right. Jimmy, I can't cook anything.
I can't cook either. Are you a married guy or are you just dating different girls?
No, I've been in a serious relationship for about a year and a half.
Oh, okay. I was on your Twitter, and what did you... there was a really weird picture of you and some friends. What were you doing crushing zombies? What was that?
There's a zombie apocalypse place in Deer Park on Long Island.
Oh, shit.
And we went in there. It's like you have guns and they shoot air, so it has like a little recoil. I think the zombies, they're real people. That, like, you know, it's pretty much like walking through a haunted house. And then if you shoot them, they must have something on their chest that vibrates, whatever, and they like will fall down in a dramatic zombie way. It's dark and shit.
Is it paintball? Is this by the outlets over there, Dennis?
Yeah, it's right there by the Tanger Outlet.
Oh shoot! All right, I go there sometimes with the family.
It looks weird.
I've seen that. I've seen where that is.
A little off.
Wait, so it's not like it's not paintball, but you said they might feel a little vibration. Do you think they just hear the gun and fall down, like if they're an uncle and a kid shot at them?
It could be because it's pretty close quarters.
That's pretty. Is it fun or what? How is that thing? I've seen that place.
So on my YouTube channel, MenaceTube, we filmed it. So it'll be out this week.
Oh, I'm going to check that out.
How long did it take you to go through? I love haunted houses. I'm 48, and I love a good haunted house. Fucking rules.
It's pretty good. I mean, I tell you what, a few times they like come out of certain corners, I'm like, ah, you motherfucker! Like,
that's good. Well, that's in my hood, man. I'm going to like go check that out.
How long is it? Like an hour to go through or no?
Well, I mean, it depends on how fast you go. It's, you know, they say like if you run through it, it'd be like 15 minutes. It took us 20 minutes, but yeah, around 25 minutes, something like that.
Yeah, you're a big video game guy. I like Twitch. So many people have these Twitch accounts. Is that where everybody can just kind of watch you play video games?
Yeah. So, I mean, I just kind of came across it this past year through kind of one of my sponsors and stuff like that. And it's like, it's pretty much like you have your own like television show, but you're playing video games, you know? So like working out the kinks of being like entertaining and stuff like that while playing video games. Sometimes I just get into the game and my friend's like, yo, dude, you got to fucking talk. I'm like, ah.
Are people seeing your face or the game or both?
Yeah, so it's both. So it's almost like, you know, when you do FaceTime someone or Skype someone, it's like you see them in the big picture. That'd be the video game. And then you see me in the little corner, kind of like you'd see yourself. Does that make sense?
Wow. I'm sorry, Jimmy. What? Now, listen, I just recently got back. I was telling Jimmy, too. Because I'm proud of it. I just got back into my Xbox and I play. You know, when I put the kids to sleep, I have no time. You know, I got three kids. I got no time for these long like adventure games and stuff like, you know, like those EverQuest type games. But I'll tell you, I've been playing some Call of Duty. I knocked the rust off my Call of Duty game, and I got some Halo. What games do you play?
Yeah, I play Call of Duty. I've got there's the other game Battlefield, which is pretty cool.
Yeah,
it's It takes place in World War One, and so like Call of Duty is like 6-on-6 or something like that, or like 8-on-8 or something like that. This Battlefield One is 64 people versus 64 people.
And then you could drive tanks and stuff like that. And
yeah.
I'm such a nerd. I love this.
Do you like playing with other teammates like that? I would hate that.
Well, yeah, because I'm not very good.
Oh, okay.
So I'm like, dude, what the fuck, dude? Why are you not my back? You got me killed, you piece of shit.
No, that's funny. I told Jimmy one time I got called in. I played with Joe Lazone, is a big gamer, and I played with him. I played with him and his friends like online. And I just got you had to jump right out after a game because I suck so bad, and they're just like killing everybody. They're probably like, Joe, who's your scrub friend? I'm like, I'm ashamed.
Ready for this? I was playing probably like close to a year ago. I was playing with your boy Gian and Pipe. Those two are complete nerds. They had a crew of like it was. They're like, we gotta kick one of our buddies out so you can play with us. I'm like, yeah, like, all right. And they're like, Dennis, go over here by the garage. I'm like, what fucking garage? I'm like,
they were
complete assassins. I think Stipe won like 33-1 one game. I was like, dude, get a fucking life.
That's hysterical. I know, right? They might feel like they feel like they're the winners, but they're really not.
Have kids.
That's true.
I don't understand like why you guys do it, because like, a guy like me, I don't know what it's like to fucking hit somebody and feel like I'm meant. Like, you guys know what that's like, so you don't need to play the video game. That this is meant for people like me who have no idea what it's like to be you.
Well, so a lot of people, when I go on my stream, they're like, play UFC. I'm like, dude, I do not want to play UFC. Nothing. I mean, it's a good game. It's just that's what I really do every day, all day. So the thing is with video games, is I want to do some shit that, like, I can't do in real life. So in Call of Duty, give me a sick gun, let me run on the wall and shoot a guy in the head. I can't do that in real life.
Okay, so I should play a game called Healthy Relationship.
That's good.
Do you shoot in real life? Do you have a pistol license?
I don't have a pistol license. I would like to get into guns. I've got a little theory on guns, you know. I kind of relate it to, like, religion. My theory for having guns is kind of like religion. And it's so, like, you pray, you die, you go to heaven, and then God's there. Like, you're glad you prayed, you know. You don't pray, you die, and then, like, you find out, like, oh, shit, like, now I'm going to hell. Now, with having guns, I have guns. You have guns. Nothing happens. Cool. I had guns. I had fun with them. You have guns. Shit hits the fan, and we get invaded, or, like, zombie apocalypse happens. You're glad you have fucking guns.
So you're basically saying the old expression, better to have it and not need it than need it and not have it.
Clarence. Yeah. Oh, I'm sorry. That's from True Romance. I thought that was from True Romance.
No, it's just an old.
It is an old saying, though. Yeah. When you got kids, though, it makes it trickier.
Yeah.
Not to be a downer. I know it's a downer because it's a good. No, not kids. But I'm saying, like, I get worried with having shit around when there's.
Oh, you don't want to have something.
Yeah.
Around.
Yeah. You always hear these horrible stories.
Sure.
You know, but hey, forget about all that. Let's talk about what's going on this weekend.
I am, yeah.
Super Bowl, dude.
What is it?
Oh, yeah, Super Bowl. Yeah, that's why you're on. That's what I said. He's the cornerback for the Patriots. You are fighting the Korean Zombie. That is Saturday night. Where is this fight? Again, I don't have that. In Houston. He hasn't fought. His last fight was fought Aldo, and he had obviously a shoulder injury, and it was, you know, a stoppage. But, you know, he popped his shoulder. So what are you expecting from him this weekend?
I'm looking to throw him onto his shoulder again.
Oh, you want to just put him right back down?
I actually heard he had double shoulder surgery. Say that five times faster.
Is that why he was supposed to fight again in 2014? Was that the injury that he could not fight?
I'm unsure, but that's what I was told.
Oh, okay. Maybe that is it. So are you actually going to go after that?
I mean, if I sure, I don't know. I mean, I'm just going to punch him and stuff like that and kick him and stuff.
Yeah, man.
We know never to ask a guy
whatever
their game
comes,
plan.
You know?
What are you expecting from him? Let's just say that. We can't ask you what your game plan is, because why would you tell us? That's stupid.
Yeah. What I'm expecting is, I mean, I think Matt could attest to this too, because I'm sure there was a little bit of period of time after Matt retired where he was like, man, there's certain things I miss. And, you know, he probably felt a little hunger or a thirst, or maybe thought about coming back a little bit. And I think that's probably what happened with him is sometimes if I'm not in the gym for, you know, a week or 2 weeks, I'm like, man, I need to pulling on my girlfriend and just, like, you know, like, kind of like grappling with her. She's like, leave me alone. I'm like, I need to grab somebody and, like,
get antsy,
force them to do things, you know? So I'd imagine he built a hunger and a thirst to get back and do it and get in there and get after it again. So I'm expecting a real hungry zombie here.
I guess the Korean Zombie. Yeah, I think so too. But you wonder if there's going to be any ring rust after, and whether it's true. We've heard from different fighters it exists. We've heard it does not exist. For you, is it something that does exist? And sorry, we got a little distracted. Somebody just poked their head in and said hello. We don't know who it is.
Oh, no good.
Somebody
okay.
goes, this guy just walks in and gives a thumbs up to Jimmy.
He looked like Scatman Crothers right before Nicholson hit him with the axe.
Fucking what cool the fuck just happened?
In The Shining.
But go ahead.
Is anybody home?
That's what we just had a visitor here. Dennis.
Sorry. Yeah, so are you a believer in ring rust, or do you know? No.
Yeah, I think it's a real thing, you know? But, I mean, I think everyone's different, though. I think some people affects other people more than others, you know.
And obviously you're ranked number 9 right now. So where do you think you are in the division as far as, I mean, you've already beaten Max Holloway. So let's just say you can't look past this fight, but let's just say you do win this fight for the sake of argument. What do you see next if this fight goes the way you want it to?
I want to fight Max Holloway.
You want to do that? You want to fight him next?
Yeah.
That's awesome, man. You should be vocal about that. You're doing it now. But I'm saying, if this fight goes your way, man, I mean, that's a name to call out. And you do have a W over him, man. And that's something
for sure
alone that should give you a lot of confidence, man, knowing that you beat this guy that's been on a tear lately.
Yeah, because I was speaking with my manager, and before I had this fight lined up, we were trying to get that fight just because they Pettis and Holloway fought for the interim title, you know?
Yeah.
And me having a win over Holloway, that gives us that's a story right there. Pettis was only the Wheaties boy. You know what I mean? He beat one guy in the division, and then they're going to give him the fight, you know? So, I mean, my main thing is to get my followers up, I guess, right?
On what, Twitter, Instagram?
Yeah, I don't fucking know. Something. All the social media, I guess.
Well, dude, Dennis, listen, man. I've been around you some, dude. You're a Long Island guy. I think you're a funny guy. I think you just should be vocal, man, like you're doing now.
Yeah.
Let them know,
yeah,
man.
Yeah, that's what I'm doing.
You're a humble dude, because sometimes I think you're maybe even too humble, man. You get on that mic. Let them know, Dennis the Menace. Let them know what you want.
The last two times I got on the mic after a fight and called someone up, it didn't work.
Well, you know, if you win, there's a couple other... I mean, I'm imagining just by the guys who are ahead of you in the rankings that you would have to fight once more before getting a shot at Holloway, even though it is a good story. Like, I like the idea of you guys fighting a rematch, but I'm imagining they would put you with one more, you know, against one more person. I mean, you got Rodriguez ahead of you, Jeremy Stephens, Cubs.
Rodriguez is ahead of me?
Only by two. Or no, one. He's number eight, you're number nine. Okay, only by one. And it's just because he's just...
shit.
That's right. I mean, hey. That's right, Dennis. Get mad. Get mad, Dennis.
I don't pay attention to that. The rankings are bullshit, really.
Yeah.
I didn't mean to upset you. I was just pointing it out because I was just, you know.
Oh, no, I didn't know that. I was wondering why people were like, hey, you want to fight him? I'm like, dude's below me. What the fuck? Why do I want to fight this fucking guy?
Okay.
All this right, is awesome, enough. Man. Hey, listen, it's great that this is the main event. You're main eventing.
Yeah.
I mean, how does that feel, the main event? And Houston, Texas, you know, listen, for short Long Islanders, Houston, Texas is a lucky place, let me tell you right now.
All right. I like it.
It's where I won the title. I'm not bringing it back to me, Dennis. I'm just saying it's okay. Good luck for us out there, Dennis.
Fuck yeah.
Yeah, man.
Hey, you mentioned, I saw on your Twitter feed, which I was enjoying. Why were you in the Baseball Hall of Fame? What were you doing there?
I went to the Albany fight, UFC Fight Night Albany, and because I'm from, I'm originally from upstate, you know, they wanted to just go shoot that, and I was like, sure, let's go.
Did you enjoy it?
Do you want the honest truth?
Yeah, yeah, go ahead.
No, I mean, it was cool, you know what I mean? But, like, baseball's not really my cup of tea.
Oh, okay.
A little boring for me.
Hey, I played baseball
when I was in, like, third, fourth grade, only because all my friends were, and I had no one to hang out with, you know, while they had their baseball games.
You know, I played baseball, too, as a kid. I was a little league. I'm, like, a nervous tick guy. I blink a lot. I'm a fucking weird dude. And I remember I was in the outfield. I was playing for Young's Glass Service, and I'm in right field, of course, because that's where all the best players went. And I would have this nervous tick where I would spin once to the right for some reason. And I would spin in a total circle to the right. And I'm doing it in the outfield. And from the dugout, my fucking coach goes, hey, Jimmy, what are you, a ballerina? It's the most humiliating moment.
It stayed with you to this day.
That was 36 years ago.
Oh, that son of a bitch.
It's the first thing I think of every morning.
I hope your coach is dead now.
No, I had to answer him literally. No. Humiliating.
What I think of when I played baseball was I was out in left field. So I had wheels, you know, but I wasn't like a real skilled player, and I had to go to the bathroom really bad. What do you do?
We can relate to that.
What do I do? Well, if I'm in left field, I probably go to the fence and I just whip my dick out.
I just pissed myself.
Oh, that's a different take.
Yeah,
I'm in third grade. I got to fucking pee, and I'm like, listen, it's not like I was just like. I tried to hold it for fucking ever.
Yeah, you're a kid.
It was, Good thing I had black baseball pants on, so you couldn't really fucking.
They didn't know. That was just thinking. You just say your sweat smells.
Did it show?
But no. Well, they were black, you know, and they had were like the material was like almost the same texture throughout. So it like I know what you're saying. You couldn't see moisture on the pants. Is what I'm trying to.
So when you got back to the bench, nobody smelled it or saw it?
I mean, I didn't say anything to anybody, you know?
Jimmy, you don't get
it. Well, no, but somebody would say something. I would say something. If I came back, if I was sitting next to a guy on the bench and he had piss on himself, it's all I'd do is talk about it.
I mean, I probably did the thing, you know, like if you smelt it, you dealt it. I was probably like, hey, you guys smell that shit? What the fuck? What the fuck is going on over here?
The best thing to do is spill water on yourself as soon as you get back. Like you draw, oh, fuck, I got water all over myself.
I might have did that.
Would your coach do that thing? They would always test for a cup where they would take the bat and they would hit you in the dick with the baseball bat lightly. Did your coach ever test like that?
Nah.
Oh, it was just my coach. So. My coach is the only one that would take me to a ride in his car and do that.
Jimmy's coach would check his front, check his back.
No, he would always tap you with the bat.
There's not a cup back there. A coach, what are you doing?
Yeah, exactly.
Jimmy, you don't need this is the beginning of your. This is how it all started, Jimmy. I think we're
breaking. Yeah. No, but he would line us up, and it was a light tap, but he would just do that, and you knew you better have your cup on, or you're going to get hit in the dick.
You better, you don't want to get hit in the dick.
He's having flashbacks.
Man. Yeah. Unpleasant. Obviously, sports were not good memories for me. Humiliated. Oh, so, hey, when you fought, dude, and I know you've covered this before, but I'm curious if there's any follow up. You had a girlfriend you were living with, and you wound up raising, like, it wasn't your child. Was there any follow-up with that? Did you ever see her again, or how did that ever work out?
I had to see, so once I found out the kid wasn't mine.
How did you find out?
What's up?
How did you find out?
I was living with my cousin at the moment. She had a house. Because I lived with my grandma, and my mom was fucking really sucking. And this is in Amish country, Pennsylvania.
Okay.
I'm 22 years old. This is, I'm dealing with this like crazy woman who, like, if I didn't, because anytime I didn't agree with her, she'd be like, all right, well, let's go to the courts.
Oh, okay.
And then you give me child support that way. I'm like, okay, whatever you want, you know. So I was making $125 a week at UPS, and I was giving her $150 a month. So I'm like, geez, you know.
It's a lot.
So I was living with my cousin, and I just did the test where they send you the kit, you swab my mouth, I swab the kid's mouth, put it back in the kit, send it back to the lab, and then send an email.
Oh, wow. So wait, so the whole time your girlfriend was pregnant, everything, you thought it was your child?
She was, hang on, I like to consider myself a little pimp, which backfired. she was never my, she wasn't my girlfriend when we had the hookup. You know, she was just, actually, I've known her for a long time, and she's was from the town my mom lives in, you know. She's kind of came over, she was coming through my college, like, hey, you want to hang out, you know?
So she wasn't cheating on you or anything like that?
She was never my girlfriend. It was like a one-night stand.
Oh, but when you found out she was pregnant, when did you find out she was pregnant?
You thought it might be yours.
When she was 7 months.
Oh, my. Oh, man, dude, you must have went through some stuff there. Like, oh.
Yeah.
Life-changing.
I originally was like, hey, I would like to get a paternity test, and she, like, wigged out on me, like, wow. This is how you want to start this? If you ever want to be with me, you're gonna have to trust me. I was like, yeah, I guess we are kind of like starting a family here. Like, I guess, you know, I'm also like, I'm 20 years old at the time, wow. So I'm pretty dumb. So I'm like, yeah, I guess you're right.
Did you end up knowing the person that
the dad?
No. After I found out the kid wasn't mine, I was like, so who's the father? You know, via phone or she's like, he died last fall. I'm like, oh, shit.
Holy
fuck. Isn't that something, like, Matt, let's say you've been your wife for how long? If your high school sweetheart died, wouldn't you be like, oh, babe, like, the girl I used to date in high school died today?
Yeah,
you would, like, wouldn't that come to the surface a little bit?
Nah, yeah, this is definitely something for Maury Povich, I'll tell you right now.
Absolutely. They'd know my ex-girlfriend died, so I hit my head
on there, but I would hate if it, like, wasn't my, it didn't go my way.
The audience would hate you. Boo! Him, Dennis, girlfriend, you go!
Yeah. You have to ask, but if you don't ask, you're a dope, and if you do ask, you're an asshole who doesn't trust her. There's no winning in that situation.
Well, he won.
Right.
He won. He's good.
All right, we got
to... Well, then the second situation was, are you going to be in the kid's life or not? And I was like, dude, there's no... I instantly hated her just as much as I, like, loved that kid.
Yeah.
And it was just like, I'm not giving her the power to have control over me anymore. Sure. So if I stay in the kid's life, if I pissed her off, she'd be like, you know what? You can't see him anymore. So I wasn't going to be able to give her that back. You know what I'm saying?
How long were you with the kid until you found out?
Like, 2 years. I was bad dad.
Oh, my goodness. That is... Yeah. Hey, man. I feel for you. Oh, listen, see, if everything could be so as simple as just fighting in the cage, you realize that? Life would be simpler.
Dennis, we have to wrap up because we got Dana calling in, but we got to say, I'm a fan, dude, and next time, please come in because we would love to hang with you for the whole show in studio.
Yeah, shit, sure. Man. You're right in Long Island, guy. Dude. You got to come in.
UFC Fight Night.
I'll bring in egg sandwiches and we'll kick it.
Oh, please do. UFC 104, Bermudez versus Korean Zombie. It is Saturday, February the 4th from Houston, of course. It's the FS1 main card at 10 o'clock. And good luck, buddy. And one more question. I would be negligent if I didn't ask you this, because you had mentioned that Dana White should have you as a guest on looking for a fight with Dana White. And you said that you would be willing to do some crazy shit. We have Dana in 2 minutes. So what crazy shit would you be willing to do? We'll tell it right to the boss.
I didn't know you watched the show.
If the camera, well, dude, I grew up in the Jackass era where, like, I bought a camera and that's what we went out and did. Like, stood in front of a train, like, chicken with train, like crazy shit. Pushing porta potties over with, like, when your buddy's in there. I would, if the camera's on and the pressure's on, I'm getting on that bull for sure.
Oh, shit.
But I've caught iguanas. Like, fuck it, if the camera's on, I'm rock and roll, man.
He's down for anything.
No, I don't know. I want to know something. I just wanted to have something to give Dana. I'm going to push for you.
Well, he said he's going to go in a porta potty and we're going to push him over.
That's true.
You motherfucker.
Yeah, you brought it up.
You did say that.
And you're going to I'm not being a prick, but I'm going to use the porta potty first.
The porta potty. I pushed it over on some dope.
Oh, well, that's not. I mean, what is that about?
Exactly. I'd love to push a porta potty.
It was so funny. We pushed it onto the door so he couldn't get out.
Oh, you did that. Oh, that's like actually. And I've thought of that before. Being the guy that was trapped in there, I'd probably break out of that thing like the fucking Hulk.
Yeah.
I'm out. Imagine that.
You suck.
All right. Yeah, we got to go. Jimmy's getting a hard on.
Dennis, thank you, buddy.
All right, guys.
Good luck, man. We'll talk to you soon.
Good luck, Dennis.
Take care.
No, you too, man.
Peace.
That was fun.
Yeah, he's a good dude, man. I would love to have him in the studio. But I forgot about that. I read that on Twitter.
That's a nightmare with the whole thing. Holy shit, no?
We have Dana?
No, not
Dana! Sorry, Chris keeps saying we have people we don't.
Hey, Chris.
I don't think I am.
Yeah, you are. Yeah. Did you drink your coffee, Matt? Did you have any coffee?
Do you want some?
No, not if you had some. I can't. It's amazing. I can't drink out of a... Do we have any water, Chris? We had waters, but I don't know where they are.
Yeah, I can get you water.
Yeah, I did. I had some of my coffee already, to be honest with you.
All right, no, I appreciate that. I appreciate your honesty. Yeah. Should I do a read? Where's the read?
Yeah, sure. Here we go.
Before the boss comes,
I got me undies.
Dennis will appreciate. Well, let me tell you something about me undies.
Oh, by the way, I just got a new shipment of me undies, and don't do that, Jimmy. Oh, there, Jimmy. Don't put your fingers in. What are you doing? Oh, okay. All right,
me undies. I just got a little package, a soft package.
I would have took. By the way, I would have took your word for it. You know.
No, but I wanted to show you. I wanted to show Chris. If Dana's listening, I wanted Dana to know I'm wearing proper underpants.
I just got a new shipment of them in.
I did too.
I'm so excited.
I opened it up, and you can tell I put weight on because my little fat tummy is hanging over the sides. Little fucking mushroom-bellied idiot.
It's winter weight.
I suck.
Nah, me too.
Look, this Valentine's Day, you silly geese, give a gift they can always unwrap again and again and again. Matching underwear from MeUndies. Valentine's Day is near, and it's go time for thoughtful gift hunting. MeUndies has you covered with limited edition matching pairs of undies for you and yours. Has Valentine's Day got you stumped? Because you never know what to buy. She's like, I'd like some candy. And in your mind, you're going, but you're a fat pig. In your mind, you're saying that you're a fat pig.
Anything but candy.
I don't want to buy you candy. You're a fat pig. But you can't say that.
Gym membership.
You can't say, you can't say gym membership.
No, it's raw. They get offended.
I want some candy. But you can't say, well, you're a big fat pig. So you say, look, forget the cliches, honey. I got something that's going to look great on you. And it's going to feel great. Here are some MeUndies. Chris, what are you circling?
No, I was just pointing at something on the read there. You can see there's a I'm sorry, go ahead.
What's the matter with him lately?
Chris is the type of
guy. What's the matter with him lately?
If you were having sex and you're getting close, he's the type of guy that would poke his head in and go, I can't believe they're not letting the refugees in. Get the timing of diarrhea on the ninth inning. Hold on a second. Fancy dinners and chocolate last night, flowers last a week. This year, give the gift of looking great and feeling great every day with the world's most comfortable underwear. Dana won't be mad. If we're doing a live read and we're playing with it, he won't be mad if we're a minute late because we're doing a live read. He'll understand. Dana's a big guy on getting the bills paid.
Uh-huh.
Is he on the phone, Dana?
No.
Okay. Heads up. Valentine's Day is February the 14th. We all know that. Don't panic, you silly geese. All kidding aside, get your heart on.
Okay, keep it clean.
And show some love.
Oh.
With MeUndies, matching undies. MeUndies are the perfect gift for you and yours this holiday, Valentine's Day. Of course, they are unbelievably soft. They come in limited edition prints. They know that your special someone and you both deserve a special fabric, which is why their underwear is made exclusively out of Modal, which is really 3 times softer than cotton. I'm not kidding. I am wearing them. They are phenomenal underwear. I love doing reads for these because they are a product I genuinely enjoy. They have a special limited time Valentine's Day underwear, which means you and your Valentine can match. And yes, it's as cute as it sounds. This is what you're going to do. You're going to look at each other. She's going to look at your nice package because your package looks great in these. And she's going to go, tee-hee-hee. And you're going to go, let's have sex. And she's going to go, okay. Why didn't you get me chocolates? And you're going to go, because you're a fat pig. And it's going to slip out. For some reason, your MeUndies aren't a perfect match. First of all, your relationship is garbage. And they're going to give you your money back and let you keep the first pair. So you can lose the fat girl you're dating and you can get nice underwear for free. They're not going to ask for anything. There's no refund on a bad fancy dinner. No refund. No refund. I said it wrong. Refund. They offer free shipping. And of course, for a limited time, listeners on this show get 20% off their first order. But you got to go to MeUndies.com/UFC. With the MeUndies Better Day Guarantee, you have nothing to lose. Mm-mm. So don't wait any longer. Go to MeUndies.com/UFC right now for 20% off your first order. They are honestly really, really comfortable. That's MeUndies.com/UFC. I wear them all the time. I love them, and I got three new pairs. And the, which pattern do you think I have on right now, Matt? I'm not trying to be weird. What would you say these are? Is Dana on the phone? Dana? Chris keeps saying we have Dana.
He's taking his pants down.
They look like modern art.
What is that? It's like graffiti.
It's like graffiti. That's right.
I have the gray ones on right now. They're very.
Let me see the gray ones.
Oh, come on. Did I sign on for this?
You certainly did.
God damn.
It's like a slate gray.
I don't like slate gray. I like the color fun ones. My fat stomach. Little muffin top.
Yeah, and
body.
By the way, what was with that guy? Can we get a lock on the door?
I don't. That was
what the hell
he's
was
the guy that?
That
does sort of like.
Do we know this guy?
I've seen him before.
He's like a maintenance guy around here. Yeah. So I don't know why he popped in.
If anybody ever seen The Shining,
that's what I'm saying. That's what I say. It looks like Scatman Crothers this before Nicholson put an accent.
Oh, the black gentleman.
Yeah.
The door opens up behind me, and I look, and there's this guy just giving a thumbs up and a big smile to Jimmy.
He goes, "You like ice cream, Doc?"
I guess he survived that axe to the belly.
Yeah. Is anybody home? Scatman still has his winter coat on.
I went there be a hero. He's got an axe to the belly.
My favorite part of The Shining is when fucking Scatman Crothers is laying there. He's looking over his toes, and he's got that fucking 1970s velvet naked lady painting, and she's got the big afro. Remember that? Maybe I watched The Shining too closely too many times.
Yeah, I guess I remember. Sure.
I love when the bunny rabbit or the bear, guy in the bear outfit is blowing the guy in the tux.
Yeah, I knew you'd like that part.
But so weird.
What was that about?
Chong, chong, and they zoom in on it.
I know, and the guy's really like scary. Looking at the door, and the guy's dressed up like a dog. They were freaky back
then.
Yeah,
it really was. Cool. All right, Chris has got Dana. Dana, what's going on, buddy? Oh, sorry, no?
He's walking to the studio right now.
Okay, because Chris keeps indicating that we have the boss.
So I went out with Dana the other day. We had a good time, man. I threw down a couple. And your buddy, Nick Swartzen, was hanging out.
I love Nick Swartzen.
Did you get a text from him?
Yes.
Right? It was a nice picture. Was he biting my head or something?
Hold on.
Can I see the picture? Don't put up a cock picture. Please.
No, I would not.
Can we be mature about this?
I would not do that.
Nah, you don't have to be mature, but seriously, don't put up another cock pic. He always makes me look at weird shit.
Yeah, there's a couple of them. What did he say?
See, I name drop. I go, you know Jim Norton? No, because I met Nick before.
He wrote, "Love you, me and Matt Serra." He's a good boy, Nick. He's a friend of mine for 15 years.
Let me see the picture. That's what he did. He was saying how long he knew you. I figured you guys would know each other.
Ah, yeah, Nick's a really good guy. By the way, Dana put out a GIF of fucking Nick eating, and it's like him dancing, and it's the worst thing I've ever seen. It's so disturbing.
What is that?
Can you show him, Chris?
Yeah, I want to see it.
Is it a GIF? Is there sound to it? Because I didn't hear any sound.
I think it's just like one of those like quick motion.
It's the most upsetting thing I've ever seen.
What a good time, though. I had a good time.
Where'd you eat? A steakhouse?
No, we went out to, I don't know where this place was. It was weird, man, these places now. It was a bar. It wasn't a big place. And it was like library books. I understand like people reading books now.
How upsetting is that?
It's the worst thing I've ever.
That's very upsetting.
I think that's great.
It is great, but it upsets me.
Why does that upset you?
I don't like it.
He looks like he's having fun.
I know, because it doesn't end.
It doesn't.
It just keeps repeating.
I know, that can make you crazy.
It's really upsetting.
I didn't know like in bars now people read books like these yuppies
they don't
they call them
they don't
I'm like no this kid is sitting here reading a book. I'm like, what the fuck?
Because he's trying to look different and smart.
I'm like,
he's a douche.
Well, I go, the music doesn't bother you, guy? Like, I'm thinking,
no. Did he tell the truth and go, this is only for my image? I'm not
and
really
it's so,
reading.
It's so crazy in Denver too. But I don't know what the fuck that guy was doing. I thought they were fake books. I'm like, oh, well, look at this. Oh, I got the design. Oh wait, no, they're real books.
I go, where are we here? Where are we? In a library with a fucking DJ? But anyway, I didn't go too crazy because I had the corner the next day. I just had a couple drinks.
Yeah, you
understand.
Oh, you went out on Friday.
Well, I had a couple of drinks, and then some dirty hippie comes over. No, the guy was a nice guy. It's crazy in Denver, man.
Are there things to do there when you're dead?
Let me tell you, that's Ray Longo's favorite movie. He keeps telling me to watch it. I can never get
through
it.
Christopher Walken is very good in that. Is he in that? I think he is.
It felt like a B movie to me. I know Alex Garcia's in it.
I think Chris Walken.
No, I know. He is.
Shit in a bag. I can't do it.
I don't know. Yeah, I can't do it either. And
I thought that's like one of your best impressions, the Chris Walken.
Oh, yeah. I was just trying to be humble. So Matt would say, yes, you can. Then I would have done it. But Matt didn't take the bait.
You know why? Because I try to do it.
You
want to
do it? I'll do my Walken. Oh, he's got a yellow shirt. Oh, fucking home run.
Stop, man. That's good.
Oh, come on. I'm terrific. Almonds. Oh.
Everything is old.
Of course.
Spot. No, good. Do the speech from True Romance. I don't do that. Wait. Was Dennis, what's his name? Not Bermudez.
Dennis Hopper.
Dennis Hopper.
Dennis Bermudez. Yeah, no, Bermudez was not in True Romance.
We're not going to do that scene, but that movie's a sleeper. If anybody, I'll do that for a movie minute.
Do you know in that scene, I've hung out with the guy. There's a guy in that, James Gandolfini's in that scene.
Oh, yeah, of course. Yeah.
James Gandolfini is
he got a bed from Alabama in that movie.
Yes,
Alabama
he did.
Alabama Hurley gave him a fucking beating.
And there's a guy named Paul, I forget his last name. He was also in, you ever see The Wire? He was in season 2.
Never
he played
seen it.
One of the guy. Can you go for the Paul something, who was also,
you're saying he was in True Romance.
Yes, he was in that scene. He plays the he's one of the Italian guys. Oh, Don Vincenzo. He couldn't speak English. And he's such a good actor. He's in everything.
I know who you're talking about. I do. He's like got fading hair. Like his hair is black.
And he comes to the Comedy Cellar. Paul Bates. Paul, no, not Paul Bates. I'm sorry, I didn't mean to ridicule you.
Look like you were about to throw something at him.
It was a kiss.
All right.
Paul something.
Paul Ben Victor?
Yep, Paul Ben Victor, exactly. And I saw him at the Comedy Cellar. I'm like, why would to be in, you understand the scene you were in? That's one of the best scenes in movie history.
Amazing. The music in the background. He knew he was going to die. And he had that Dennis Hopper. He just wanted to give one last just dig at
He
him.
Wanted it to be quick, too.
Oh, it was so... what a scene. What a movie.
And how good
what
is...
What a movie. Chris.
Yes, sir.
True Romance.
Oh. Ready? No, because this is too... We got to... Come on, Chris,
I'm really
the finger.
Not prepared.
Okay. Oh, God. Can the guy help me out? Matt's Movie Minute. Hello. All right, this will be both me and Jimmy talking about
I think
about
Dana's
it.
About to
say. Oh, man.
No. We don't have to interrupt. Hey, boss. How are you?
Hey, what's up, boys?
Oh, hi, Dana.
We're going to get back to that after. I'm excited. That
Matt's upset. He was just about to talk about True Romance. He was all geared up to talk about it, too.
It's an old movie.
The movie?
Yes.
Oh, it's a great movie.
Oh, you see that?
It is a great movie.
How come it
movie?
Sounds like he's in studio? This is great.
Just ISDN.
I am in studio.
Oh, wow. Oh, look at this.
That's why I'm late.
You had to walk to the studio?
Yeah.
All right, well, how are you, buddy? Haven't talked to you in a while.
Good. How you guys doing? I got a funny story for you, Matt. So,
yeah.
You know we did looking for a fight in Maine, right?
Yes.
So, you know my cousin Steve that takes care of everything up there.
Good man, yeah.
Calls me today, says that show is the worst thing that's ever happened to me. Okay. Apparently, there's like no trespassing signs on my property and his number is the number to call. He is getting blown up with people that want to come over and ride go-karts and
I thought of that, man.
Like it's really a Disneyland, it's, like you call it.
You might have to charge some money for tickets, dude. That's kind of messed up.
Wait, a phone number showed up on the show that didn't get taken out?
No. So if you go to where my property is, and there's no trespassing signs on the place, and there's a number to call, and that's my cousin Steve's cell phone number. So everybody who's listening in Maine, go get that number and terrorize this fucking guy.
Man.
Call him. Call Steve all day, every day. I love it.
He's not going to make you any more moonshine, though. Don't watch out for that.
Right. That's right.
Well, the worst is not just calling him. It's the photos they can text. That's really bad news.
Oh, yeah. Jimmy's
that's
getting
good
ideas.
So they didn't blur out the phone number. Okay.
No. If you go to my property, because listen, Maine is a small place. If you go there, there's no trespassing signs, and his number is on the sign. That's the number to call.
Why Maine? Because you grew up in Boston, right?
Yeah. Well, no, I grew up in Vegas, but I lived in Boston. We moved out of Massachusetts when I was in third grade, and we came to Vegas. But I bounced back and forth for summers, and my grandparents and a lot of my cousins. on my dad's side, live up in Maine, and we used to have a blast up there. I mean, ask Matt. It sounds crazy, but it's amazing.
Like, he's like the mayor over there. You ever see that scene in Roadhouse when the guy's just driving all over the road, like singing that Frank Sinatra song? No, you haven't seen that, Jimmy?
I don't remember
Roadhouse.
You
got to see Roadhouse. But anyway, he's like Dana's like the mayor over there. Now, what a good time that was. We should do another show from there.
It's an incredible place.
You don't strike me as the outdoorsy type. Are you an outdoorsy person? I didn't know it.
I'm the
outdoorsy.
I'm the sissy outdoorsy type. We got a lot of nice stuff up there. Oh, okay. You know, I am not the outdoorsy type. I don't get tents and camp outside. Hey, camping to me is a place that doesn't have room service.
Yeah. Yeah, my idea of roughing it is the same thing. I've really become a prima donna with hotels and travel. I don't rough it well at all anymore.
My cousin that takes care of my cousin Steve and my cousin David take care of everything up there for me year round. They take care of all my stuff. So basically, whatever we go to do, let's say we're going to shoot guns that day. We're partying, hanging out, listening to music, doing whatever we're doing. We drive to the place. These two cops from Bangor, all the guns are laid out. They're loaded. We shoot them, have fun. We get back in the cars and we leave. That's what we do. You know what I mean? I'm not that guy.
Yeah, I'm not either, man. I wouldn't mind going shooting or something like that, or target practice. I just get uncomfortable in those situations because I'm not good. I'm not outdoorsy. It's horrible, right? You're around real men and you're like, oh, this sucks. I'm not outdoorsy.
Hey, the only time I touch those fucking guns is when the police guys are there with me. I pick them up, I aim them, I shoot them, and I put them back down and let them handle them. I don't mess around with that stuff.
Yeah. I'm not a huge gun guy either.
No.
As Dana
said, I love guns. I just, you don't see me messing around with them.
That's dangerous. Dana, did you see Tito's fight versus Chael Sonnen?
It was my first Bellator.
Oh, there
my
you
first
go.
First Bellator event. Yeah.
I thought you were going to say my first and last Bellator. No.
My first Bellator event. Yeah, I watched it. And, you know, listen, both guys are 40 something years old. You know, it was basically a retirement fight, you know. And a lot of people, I think, were calling it a fix. There's no way. So here's one of the things people don't realize about Tito Ortiz. Tito Ortiz is strong as, I mean, this fucking guy is so strong. He put me in a neck crank one time and almost popped my fucking head off my shoulder.
Right.
This guy is physically very strong. And I think his ground game is very underrated because Tito would always, get that top position to ground and pound people. And, Chael hasn't, I don't think Chael has fought or won a fight since 2013, in that ballpark somewhere. You know, and he's 40. You take Tito's 41. You take that much time off, and that's what a fight's going to look like. You know what I mean? This is a young man's game. This isn't an old man's game. It's a young man's game. There's a couple of freaks that have been around that could do it, you know, longer than they should have. Dan Henderson is one of those guys.
Yeah.
But
Couture was one of those guys.
There's no way in hell that was a work.
No, I didn't think it was a work either. But I'll tell you
I'd love to come on here and shit all over Bellator, there's no way that was a work.
I definitely didn't think it was a work. First of all, that'd be very difficult to try to pull off no matter what. I mean, not for nothing, I think Chael, it's easy to find a way out of there. In other words, you know, that thing, whether it was on super tight or not, he's probably like, all right, I'm in here long enough.
Well, the thing you got to remember too, Matt, is that he's a good wrestler. Never was Chael some big jujitsu fucking, some big jujitsu guy. And when Tito Ortiz is cranking your fucking head off.
Oh yeah, man.
You know, you're 40 fucking years old and you just had a kid and you know all this stuff. Yeah. I should tap out here.
Not for sure. And the way Chael is, he'll talk about the next fight and he'll have something ready if he loses, but it is what it is. But yeah, I didn't think it was a fake either.
No, not at all. I can't. Plus, Chael is so verbal. I can't see Chael ever taking a dive and not talking about it. I just can't see him doing that.
Right.
We haven't talked to you, Dana, since Ronda's fight with Amanda. So, she, to my knowledge, has not done a lot of press. What is the status of that? Because
it's funny you asked me that today. I literally just talked to her this morning.
Oh.
On the way to the gym.
Interesting.
And she, she's good, man. Her spirits are good. She's doing her thing. You know, in the conversation that I had with her, if I had to say right here, right now, and again, I don't like saying right here, because, it's up to her and her thing, but I wouldn't say she fights again. I think she's probably done.
Oh, wow. That's interesting.
I think
interesting.
She's going to ride off into the sunset and start living her life outside of fighting.
And I got to be honest, too, because she's still very young and she still obviously can fight. Is this like a headspace thing where somebody feels they're invincible and then they get into a headspace where they're not and it's hard to gain back whatever it was that made them that fighter mentally?
It's not even that I think it was an invincible thing. It's just she's so competitive that, you know, her career, her record meant everything to her. And then once she lost, she started to say to herself, what the fuck am I doing? I this is my whole life. This is it. I want to experience and start doing other things, I think. And that's what she started to do. And, you know, she's got a lot of money. She's never going to need money again. Because, first of all, unless you spend money like crazy, unless you spend money like Floyd, you know, you're not going to need money again when you have the kind of money that Ronda has. So she's not a big spender. She's got a cute place down in Venice, California. And, you know, she's got some plans where she wants to move to, you know, to a more desolate place and do her thing. So I'm happy for her, man. She came in. She changed the world. She put female fighting on the map. She's been part of the biggest fights in the history of women's fightings, of women fighting. And I hope those records can be broken. I don't know if they can, but I hope they can.
Yeah, and she really did. She put it on the map. I mean, she opened the door for so many of these fighters and so many of these amazing matchups that we're seeing are all because of the
girls,
interest.
Little girls that didn't think they could.
That's right.
But now know they can.
So she sounded okay when you talked to her and kind of at peace with
things. She's great. In a real good place. Yep, very good.
That's awesome.
Did you think the criticism of her coach was fair?
Yeah, nobody was criticizing him when she was winning.
Right.
You know? When she was winning, nobody criticized him. But, you know, after her last two losses, listen, that's between her and him. That, you know, people are like, oh, she should fire. Everybody's a fucking expert, man. Right. Everybody's an expert. When she was winning, nobody was expert and saying, hey, you know, I think she should be looking at a different coach than this guy. But when she loses, that's what everybody says.
Well, thank you for that, because you know, that's definitely breaking news. And what do you think of Shevchenko now possibly fighting Amanda Nunes? I guess that's got to be the next fight.
Yeah. No, she looked great, man. Let me tell you what. I'm pretty sure everybody on the planet thought that if that fight stayed standing, Shevchenko wins the fight. If it went to the ground, Pena wins by submission. Wow. Yeah, I was shocked at that. She showed that night that she is a very well-rounded mixed martial artist and that she's ready for a title fight. That's actually going to be a damn good fight with those two.
Well, yeah. not to mention, I'm sorry, Jimmy.
Okay.
Not to mention, they fought before, Amanda taking the first two rounds, and Valentina coming back that third round and winning it. And right. Amanda was getting pretty gassed. And there was a lot of talks, there were people saying that, hey, if this was a five round fight, that could have been Valentina's fight. You know?
And we got to talk about
interesting.
Now, of course, the guy, the big elephant in the room, the guy who we have got to talk about is Francis Ngannou. Let's talk about Francis.
He loves Francis.
I love him. I love him.
I do too. I do too. Oh, I'm a huge Francis fan, man. This guy is a fucking monster. Oh, when you stand next to him, I don't know if we've ever had a heavyweight champion as big and as mean looking as this fucking guy is. And when he hits you, man, you know, he's what I saw the other night in the fight with Arlovsky. Arlovsky was a little faster than him, you know, moving around on the outside. But then once he caught up to him and hit him, man, all that guy's got to do is graze you.
And not to mention, in his fight before that, he finished that with that Kimura. And I'll tell you, man, he looked like he was going to rip that arm off. I mean, he's a strong dude. Yeah, I mean,
do you guys know his story?
No,
I do not.
He was homeless in France, and he walked into a gym and said, I would like to learn how to box. And the guy started working with him and thought that he was a physical freak, right?
Yeah.
And basically said, what do you think about mixed martial arts? We think you should train in that. So they started doing some stuff on the ground. And that was the end of it, man. The guy became a mixed martial artist.
He was a homeless guy. Was he drinking at the time, or what? Do you know what the backstory to that was?
He had moved from Africa to France. He moved from Africa to France, and apparently he was homeless, and you know, trying to make his way and find a job or whatever, you know, when you get to a new town, and walked into a gym and wanted to learn how to box.
You imagine him asking for change at 3 o'clock in the morning, how fast you'd happily hand it over?
Jimmy's writing him checks. Just, hey, how old is he, Chris, the producer?
He's 30 years old.
So he's still pretty young, right? Man. Yeah. The thing with him, like you said, Arlovsky's a little bit faster. And again, against a guy like a Travis Brown or a Cain Velasquez, or, you know, there's guys in there who you know, he's got to connect with you to knock you out. And there's guys in there that might be able to get in and out without getting touched. But
I think more of a Stipe Miocic. Miocic is a very well-rounded athlete. He's got good speed. You know, you saw that in the Hunt fight.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? How he was in and out. And he's got a chin, and he hits hard, too. So Stipe is dangerous for anybody.
So who's a possible next fight for Ngannou? I know you guys probably haven't looked that far yet, but who do you see? I mean, with Cain is out, it's still. So who do you see him
fighting? He wants to fight Cain Velasquez next.
Oh.
Well, when is Cain due back? Did he just have surgery?
Yeah, Cain will be back in April.
Okay. That's an interesting matchup.
Who is Cain supposed to fight?
He's supposed to fight Verdum.
Okay, so Verdum has no one right now?
Nope. Well, we offered Verdum fights, and he turned them down.
Do you want to say who you offered him to? Or no?
Yeah, I think we offered him the Junior Dos Santos fight. Turned that down. We offered him a couple fights. We offered him a fight in Brooklyn.
And he said no. What was his reasons for saying no? Was it that he didn't have time to prepare?
What's interesting about that is Dos Santos has a win over him. You know that.
Over
Verdum.
Yeah.
Maybe
I was there for that live. I don't know when that was, but I was there for that. I remember seeing that, and that's when Junior first broke onto the scene. I was like, who the hell is this guy? Right? That might have been his first fight. It might have been his first fight.
No, that was the fight that everybody noticed him. And then after that, Verdum left the UFC and then came back, and Verdum was a completely different fighter when he came back in
that's
the UFC.
That's true.
He was very one-dimensional in his fight with Junior Dos Santos. When he came back, he was a much different fighter.
Yes. And that was his first fight, Chris, the producer, in there?
That was Junior's first fight in the UFC. It was in 2008.
Wow. Where was that, by the way? I remember that.
Illinois, Rosemont, Illinois.
Oh, I was there for that.
Wow. Now, so what do you think about a guy like, would Verdum fight Ngannou?
Yeah, I think everybody's going to fight Ngannou. That guy's not going anywhere. So, yeah, that guy's here for a while.
He probably doesn't need much time in between fights because he tends to get them over quickly. So, I mean, you know, what does he got to do? Like, he's probably going to nap for a day and he's ready to fight
again. That's the thing. He gets them over quickly. There's no weight cutting. You know, heavyweights are different, are totally different. That's why I think if you look in the UFC, if you look at the history of the UFC, the heavyweights stick around the longest, you know. It's a very thin division. They don't cut weight. They don't. Some have to cut weight. I mean, some of them are so big, but it's not. It's not like these smaller guys do. It's a lot easier to be a heavyweight in the UFC than any other weight division, I think.
Well, wasn't he? I'm by memory here. Wasn't he like 265 and Arlovsky? I want to say was 242 or something like that. Wasn't there a giant difference between them?
Yeah, it's funny because if you look at the weight of Arlovsky has always been on the smaller side of the heavyweights, but he's a massive dude. The guy is so big, yet his weight is around 240, sometimes 235. But he's such a big guy because Arlovsky, when you stand next to Arlovsky too, he's a monster.
He is, but he had a disadvantage reach-wise too. I don't remember what Arlovsky's in, but I want to say that doesn't Francis have like an 83 inch reach or something like that? It's some incredibly long reach.
Yeah, I'm not sure. He's such a big dude. I mean, his hands are massive. His hands are massive. He is a big dude, big scary looking guy. I love him, man. He's a fun heavyweight. He's going to bring some excitement to the heavyweight division.
Yeah, I do too. And I've been talking about him for a while. I mean, for as long as he's been. I'm just so happy that everybody's noticing Francis. People hit me on Twitter. So I'm really happy. And what about Bisping? Did he have the surgery yet?
I think he did.
Okay.
Last week, I think.
He did have it last week. So how long is he out for? And is there any ETA when he can fight again?
I think he had one of those, I think he had one of those surgeries like Ronda, where he had some stuff scoped, had some stuff taken out. It wasn't a major surgery, so he won't be out for that long.
Now, everybody's talking about, Yoel Romero, which, rightfully so, because he's right there in line. There's also been talk about him, Bisping possibly fighting Anderson Silva. Let's say if Anderson takes care of business on the 11th and he gets past Brunson,
who's a tough, which is very a test. Yeah, yeah, it's a test in itself right there. I mean, I personally,
that's a very tough fight.
Very tough fight. But, I mean, the other guy does come forward throwing like 8 punches, and Anderson's good at going back. I think I'm excited for that fight. But let's say Anderson does win that fight. I, for one, am very interested in seeing an Anderson Silva Michael Bisping fight, especially because styles make fights. They fought before, and it was, you know, somewhat controversial. Yeah. They both dropped each other. It was a good fight. It wasn't like it was a shitty fight. What do you think's next? If Anderson gets past Brunson, I mean, is that...
Anderson's got to get past Brunson, and Bisping's got to get past Yoel Romero. Romero's been floating out there for a long time, waiting for a title shot. Bisping wanted to do that grudge match with Dan Henderson. It was going to be Dan Henderson's last fight. Yeah. You know what I mean? I've always shown Henderson the respect that I felt he deserved. He's a guy who's fought everybody out there.
Oh, yeah.
So we did that fight, and he's got to defend his title now against the number one contender.
Right. Okay, good.
Yeah, I mean, if you look at what Romero did to Chris Weidman, he absolutely deserves the shot.
Yeah.
Well, at least you guys gave Weidman a nice, easy fight this time. That's always nice. Jesus Christ. That's the last guy you want to have to face coming off 2 losses is Musashi.
You know what, though? Weidman's one of the best in the world, and there's no easy fight. Chris Weidman has never had an easy fight since the day he set foot in the UFC, and neither has anybody else.
Yeah, that's true.
Very true.
That is true. That's just a scary guy to have to face. Because that Romero fight, I thought that Weidman was winning. And that was just kind of a shame for him. You know, you're happy if you're Romero, but to see it end
but
like
at the end of the day... It's a scary fight for him, too. Yeah. Weidman's no joke.
Right.
Weidman's no joke, and Weidman's back is up against the wall right now.
That's right.
You know? Not a fun place to be to go in and fight a guy like Weidman in that position.
Yeah, that's true. I mean, he's kind of in a must-win situation after being... I want to say he was 10-12-0 and then lost, too. So I kind of like the way he's handling these losses, though. Like, he wants to come back and fight again. He's not willing to walk away. So it makes you respect Weidman a lot.
Weidman is, let me tell you what, and I'm preaching to the choir here to Matt, but Weidman's one of the nicest guys you'll ever meet. He's a good guy, he's a tough guy, and he's fun to watch fight.
Yeah, he really is. What about Dana, too? What about the 145 female division now that, I mean, that was kind of set up with Cyborg in mind. What do you see with the featherweight division for women?
Yeah, it was we did it for her. And now she's in this position with USADA, and I don't know how this is going to play out. So we got to see how this thing, what happens here, which hopefully this will all get smoked out soon, and then I can figure out what to do with 145. But you know what? We got two of the most decorated strikers ever in the UFC fighting for the title. It sure should be a fun fight, and see how that thing ends, and then I'll go from there.
Let's talk about the. Matt, now I gotta say this now, but the Jorge Masvidal versus Donald Cerrone, the second this fight was announced, Ray Longo, and I said this on here, he called right away. He goes, Jorge's winning that fight, and he's winning it handily. He told me, he goes, the stuff that Cerrone's getting on these other guys, he's not gonna get off on him. So I just had the second that was announced, he said that, and then the way the fight played out was just. Was just really wild, man. What's your take on that?
Listen, I've said it many times. You know, even when we've had our differences, I love Cerrone, man. I love that kid. And he's nutty as hell, but, man, he's willing to step up. But one of the things that drives me crazy is he just wins an impressive fight against an impressive guy like Matt Brown. And he says, yeah, I want to fight in 2 weeks in Denver or 3, whatever the hell it was. And I'm like... How does that make sense?
Yeah.
So then we start looking at opponents, and the guy who's available is Masvidal, right? Yeah. And why take such a dangerous fight when you're so close to, you know, all the stuff that you've achieved to get to where you are now? 4-fight win streak in the welterweight division against serious guys. Yeah. Everybody's rumbling about Cowboy. But you know what? That's why people love him.
The fact that he took this and he didn't have to.
You know, because he does it all the time. And that's what people love about him, you know? Yeah. But, you know, sometimes you have to protect these guys from themselves, you know? But if the guy's screaming to fight in Denver and I say, no, you're not fighting in Denver, and everybody's, oh, you know, let Cerrone fight, you know, it's just crazy.
You can't win with
that.
Yeah.
And you can't win. So I let him do it, and that's the result. Now, I don't give a shit what Cowboy says. he needs to take some time off. He needs to take some time off, do some other thing. He's made a lot of money, you know. He just fought back-to-back. He made a lot of money. He needs to take some time off and just relax and ride his horses, shoot his guns, and do all the other crazy shit he does.
Okay. And now what about this whole, hey, Masvidal, who looked amazing. He looked at me. He looked really on, man.
He did. He looked awesome. Listen, I've always been a fan of Masvidal, but the one thing that I've always said about Masvidal is the guy doesn't pull the trigger. You see him in some of these fights, and he's one of those guys, if you had a remote control and you could control that guy, holy shit, you'd never lose. You know what I mean? He's the guy you'd want to have if you had a remote control. But if he pulls the trigger the way he did in the Cerrone fight, from here on out, he could win a title.
Yeah, it's an amazing thing. Because I remember cornering against him versus Ally Aquinta in that fight where Al was cursing at the crowd after. It was crazy. But I remember after that second round in the corner, I specifically remember Longo telling Al, this fucking guy let you back in this fight. Now we need this third round. Like, he let you back in. Like, you know what I mean? Like, he took his foot off the gas a little and he didn't do that in this fight, man. Holy shit. The beginning of that, first of all, it very well should have been stopped at the end of that first round. That was kind of crazy. I mean, I think Herb is one of the best. He jumped in. I don't think he thought he heard the bell. Is that right? He thought he heard the second left, right?
So you know me. Usually I rip guys when they do this kind of stuff. But I'm going to tell you right now, I was there ringside. It was so loud that I didn't know if the bell had rung or not either. Wow. So I called the truck and I said, what's going on? I said, replay that. I want to. But my truck replayed it without the clock on there. How the fuck does that make sense? You gotta play the replay so that people can see if the bell rang without the clock. You know what I mean?
So it made no sense.
But they ended up getting back to me and telling me that Herb stopped it before the bell had rang. But to his defense, you couldn't hear shit in that place. When Cerrone went down and he was on, the place was so loud, it was insane.
Yeah. And so he probably wanted to, like, knowing he couldn't hear, he probably wanted to err on the side of caution and not have a guy get his fucking head pounded in.
Exactly. Here's what I do love, though. He jumped in, he made a decision, and he went with it. You know what I mean? You see some of these guys stop it, and the crowd goes, what? Boo! This is finished. And they're like, they're running around. They don't know what the fuck to do.
Yeah.
At least he jumped in, he made a clear-cut decision. No, the fight is still going. Get to your corner.
Yeah.
It ended up he was wrong, but at least he made the decision, you know?
It's
a tough job, and especially it's fucking loud. You can't hear anything. You hear those clappers that there's 10 seconds left.
Right.
He was probably trying to count down in his head, you know, because you couldn't hear it. I don't know. What the fuck do I know? That's what I thought because that was my experience at the fight.
Plus, if he had let him fight, if he had missed the bell and it had been 12 seconds and he had let a guy take a pounding 2.5 seconds longer than he was supposed to, they would have crucified him.
Absolutely right. Yeah, absolutely. And listen, when you're a ref and you decide in your head that you're going to jump in and make it like it's over, at least stick with it. Don't start fumbling around like you don't know what you just did and whatever. He said, fight's still on. You go to your corner. I love it. That's how you have to handle that shit.
Yeah, you got to take charge. Herb is one of the best. But I'll tell you, what really is upsetting about that is that he was done. I mean, he was done. And he's such a gutsy guy that it's almost like, you know, I want to go back and I want to watch what's going on in between that corner. And I want
to see. Well, that's the thing. Well, a doctor went in and talked to him. Doctor talked to him, looked at his eyes, made him step forward. A doctor ran him through a bunch of drills before they let him go back out there because he was right in front of me.
Yeah.
So his corner was talking to him. I don't know what they were saying, but his corner was talking to him. The doctor came over and talked to him. The doctor did a few things with him and then determined that he could continue to fight.
Now, I was watching backstage in the green room, and I saw, I don't know if you could, so you were cage side, so I don't know if you saw there, but the beginning of that second round, oh man, what a nightmare. Yeah, I mean, Donald must have looked across the cage, and Jorge was like smiling at him, like, I got you. Like, he might have even said something to him. Like,
I did see that.
Oh man. First of all, I get tingles, man. It was wild. No, Jimmy?
Yes.
So there was something between those two, because at the weigh-ins, they were looking at each other, whatever, and Masvidal said to him, this ain't sparring, motherfucker.
Yeah. You know what's funny about that, Dana, is that after the fight was over and stopped, I seen him say something to him. And I'm like, and it didn't look too pleasant. I'm like, I gotta find out what he said. So I was in the back in the locker room with him, but he was a little celebrating, so I didn't go up to him there. Later on, I seen him in the hotel after I had dinner with Longo. And we were bullshitting with him. I go, listen, I go, what did you say? What'd you say to Cerrone after the fight? He goes, no, man. He goes, leading up to this, he's saying that, like, you know, he doesn't even know who I am. And we worked together. We sparred together. And he knows who the fuck I am. So he goes, he was dropping the guard when we spar. He was bringing up the sparring session. He goes, so he knew exactly who I was. So then when that was over, I told him, I go, you know who I am? You know who the fuck I am? That type of thing. So I thought that was pretty hardcore, man.
Right? No, that kid's a gangster, man. He really is.
Oh, yeah, man. I can't wait to watch him fight again. I'm happy that he's, like you talked about, pulling the trigger, because I thought the same thing. I've been watching him for a long time, and I remember when Al had to fight him, I was studying a lot of it. I'm like, man, this kid is actually awesome. I don't know why he's really not super not a talented. Superstar. Yeah, man. The guy should be a superstar.
Do you think it was a cardio issue?
I've seen him in so many fights where I'm like, man, this fucking guy is so talented, but he will not pull the trigger. If this kid would just let his shit fly like he did on Saturday night, he'd be unstoppable.
I mean, then he was telling you after anybody in the welterweight division, he wants anybody, he's trying to say he'll put his money up for his. I mean, he says, no, I like it. He's vocal.
So listen, I'm getting in my car, right? I'm getting in my car to go to the airport and go home. Yeah. He walks up to my car and goes, hey, I'll bet you fucking $200,000. Whoever you get, fucking throw whoever you want at me, I fucking win. I got $200,000. If I don't win, I pay you. If you win, or don't win, you pay me.
And I think that 200 grand is going to be means a lot more to him right now. But that is wild, though. I love his attitude.
Well, you know who that is. You know who that is. That's my man, Dan. Dan's a fucking maniac. I love him. Dan Lambert. Dan Lambert? You know that's him. Lambert's got to be backing him with 200 grand and telling him, go out there and bet Dana $200,000. You know, Dan Lambert's fucking awesome. It's got to be him.
Wouldn't it be shitty if you took the bet and then he lost and then had to pay you 200 grand?
Oh, yeah.
Where's my money, motherfucker? Yeah.
That would blow.
That would suck.
Hey, yeah. Any updates on Robbie Lawler? There's been rumors about him having a rematch with Nick Diaz. Is that true? Or
yeah,
is
no, I offered Nick Diaz the Lawler fight and he turned it down. Lawler accepted the fight. Lawler accepted the fight and Nick turned it down. So I'm looking for something else for Lawler right now.
Why do you think he turned it down?
I don't know. They were terrorizing me, saying they wanted a fight. We want a fight. So they wanted to announce it that night at the Sacramento card because he was there. It was the right crowd that's close to his hometown. They wanted to announce it. I got Robbie Lawler to accept the fight. I called them and they turned it down. And they've been radio silent on me ever since. I just reached out to them and said, what do you guys think about a fight with Damian Maya? And I haven't heard back from them yet.
Yeah, that's the response that most people are going to give you with Damian Maya. That's not a pleasant fight for anybody. Hey, Struve was supposed to fight.
Well, if Nick doesn't take it, I'll give it to Masvidal.
Ooh. Oh, shoot. That'd be interesting.
That's
huh?
a great fight.
Oh, got my money.
Struve was supposed to fight Junior at UFC Fight Night in Halifax, but he had to pull out, obviously. So are you trying to line up a replacement for him? Or does he get the next shot at Stipe?
Sorry, I got a text. What did you say?
Oh, God.
That's great.
I literally thought that was the silence of, like, oh, Jim, that was a dumb question.
No, I just got a text. Say that again?
I was saying Struve was scheduled to fight. Struve was supposed to fight Dos Santos, and he has to pull out. So does Junior, do you have somebody line up for him, or does he possibly get the next shot at Stipe?
Yeah, the whole Junior thing has been crazy. I'm working on something for Junior right now. I don't know who he's going to fight or what's going to go on, but I should have an answer for that today.
Okay, good. I just got a text, too. It's funny. It says, that was great last night. You still owe me $200. All right, I think our texts are a lot. I think the texts that we're getting are a lot different. So, dude, how psyched are you? Are you going out to it's funny. You've been referencing the Super Bowl lately. Are you going out there, obviously, when?
I literally have my Patriots gear on right now. I'm wearing it all week, man, right up to the Super Bowl. I'm going out Thursday night. There's a great Mexican restaurant that I love called Guadalajara. I'm going to go eat there on Thursday night when I get in town. Then on Friday, you know I bought a bull, right? Did I tell you guys that?
No.
What?
Yeah. So, Matt, remember when we did the bull riding and looking for a fight?
Of course.
I bought a bull from that guy. Whoa. And my it's a baby. It's a baby. So he's working his way up and basically learning how to buck and to do everything. There's a process with these bulls. And he's actually he's doing a competition at 9:30 in the morning on Friday. So Friday I'm going to go watch my bull do his thing, and then I'm doing Radio Row, then the weigh-ins, then Saturday's the fight, and then I'm going to the Super Bowl to watch Tom Brady and the Patriots kick some ass and win another championship. Going to be a great weekend for me.
So you have a phenomenal weekend lined up.
Yes, sir.
Have you met your bull yet, or that you just bought him and you haven't met him?
This will be the first time that I actually see him.
So do they have, I mean, I know that they're mammals, this is a dumb question, but they don't seem like they're particularly loyal to anybody. Like, does a bull act like a horse where it knows you, or no?
No, they're not very friendly. Matt and I learned that firsthand when we went to see them. They are the scariest fucking animal on earth. They look like they want to kill you, and but it was fun. It was a really cool experience to do that, and I'm excited.
Oh, I have a question. Why the fuck did you buy a bull?
Yeah, that is a great follow-up question, Matt.
No, I just want to. No, I'm sorry. No, Jeff, no, Dana.
No,
what's going on?
No, so it's I got into it, man. I got into it, and I love it. It's super fun, man. I want to get behind this thing. I want to follow it, and I'm really into it.
And
ever since we did it that day, I've been into it. I kept talking to the gentleman who settled up for us out there, and you know, his son JJ is a huge fan of the UFC, so they were hitting me all the time. We were going back and forth, and I said, "Fuck it, man, I'm going to buy a bull. I'm going to get into this."
Are you going to pet it?
No, probably not. I don't know.
By the way, that's the question.
I got to see what the situation is when I get there. I'll tell you what. This weekend was the first time that you know how you go live on Instagram. So I did it ringside for the fight that night. It was cool. It was fun. So maybe I'll go live again when I go to visit my bull.
You could do that on Instagram. I know Facebook has a live app. I didn't know Instagram did.
Oh, yeah. You can go live on Instagram, and it notifies everybody, you know, when you go live, and people can come in and watch what you're doing live.
Oh, maybe I'll do that. I didn't know that. And by the way, let's acknowledge that my question was something a 48-year-old man should not be asking another man. Are you going to pet it? That was
a fucking bull. Are you going to pet your bull?
That was an asshole 9-year-old child question that I asked a grown-up.
Are you going to pet it?
I'm going to send you guys a picture of my bull right now. He's fucking beautiful.
I would like, yeah, I would like. How big is it at that age as a baby?
He's a babe, but he's huge.
He is
he's
big.
Huge, but he's not as big. You know, when he's fully grown, you know, they're monsters. Like the bulls that we rode and saw at this ranch.
And I'll tell you, Dana, maybe it's the only time I think I screamed like a lady. I was like, ah, when Dana almost got trampled, Jimmy. I don't know if you ever saw that episode, but Dana, did you get crap from that, from your family or anybody, that you would jump on that bull? Did you or no?
Yeah, oh yeah, totally.
Yeah, me totally. Too. Me too, buddy.
Yeah, because there's stuff, you know, I got this stuff, like, I won't even go down a fucking slide, you know, when we go to, like, Atlantis and stuff like that. I'm like, last thing I want to do is have to fly around with my back fucked up and stuff like that. So my kids are like, you won't go on the slide in Atlantis, but you're riding a bull?
Yeah. I know, I definitely caught some shit for that, too.
But I blame Matt Serra, and I said, first of all, that was not what we were expecting to walk into, but what are we going to do? Go there, waste everybody's time, and look like punks?
No, we had the boots on and everything. We had to get on there.
I wouldn't have.
You wouldn't
have? No, I wouldn't have. I would have
So you know what? He hit me up today, too, because he was telling me about this competition, and he said, you guys started a trend. A bunch of NFL guys are coming in this weekend to ride bulls.
Look at that.
So ever since that show came out, we did that. He says people have been hitting up asking if they could. We were the first people to ever show up that weren't actual PBR riders coming to train to ever do it. He was like, this is fucking stupid. I've never even heard of anything like this. Now he's saying that everybody's doing it.
How bad are you going to feel if Tom Brady tries it and hurts his shoulder and can't play?
Oh, fuck. Tom Brady ain't doing it.
That's like with Sage Northcutt. He wasn't letting them anywhere near those bulls. He's like, hey, listen, this guy's retired and chubby. Don't worry. I'm expendable at this point. Oh, that's great.
Hey, Dana, what do you think about Sage moving back? He's moving back down. What do you think about that?
Matt can do the podcast in a wheelchair.
Exactly.
What do you think of Sage?
Listen, Sage is a very young guy. He's a young kid that we brought in, and you know, he's super talented, super athletic. You know, when this kid starts catching his stride and starts, you know, getting a lot more well-rounded with his ground game, he's going to be a force, man. The thing is, the kid has the heart and the desire to stay in the sport, you know, after a couple of losses, and he's got to work on a few holes in his game, and he has the right attitude, nicest kid in the world.
Yep.
Absolute stud. I think good things are going to happen for this kid in the future.
All right, awesome. And of course, Khabib and Tony Ferguson do not seem... It doesn't seem to be like a fun rivalry. It seems that they genuinely don't like each other.
I can't wait for that fight.
You know what I love about it? Two absolute animals.
Yes.
Who want the same thing. They both want the same thing, and both guys are in their way. You know what I mean? I love these kind of fights, man. Two super talented, tough, nasty, mean dudes that are going to go in there and go after it to try to get a shot at that title. I love it. That's what the sport's all about.
When is that fight?
Yeah, when is that?
It's March 4th, right?
Oh, awesome.
March 4th.
That fight I want. And also, by the way, great news, Cormier and Rumble Johnson 2 has been announced. They are fighting at 210, and that is April 8th from Buffalo, which is just great, great news. So I guess Cormier is all healed and ready to fight.
Right, and then John Jones is supposed to return around July, so the timing is perfect.
It's exciting.
Oh, he is? Okay, yeah, I figured it would be about a year. Have you talked to him? How is he feeling?
I haven't talked to him. I have not talked to John Jones since the whole incident.
Okay, well, hopefully, I'm sure he's training. And there's no idea who his opponent might be. I know you guys haven't probably thought that far in advance.
Well, depending on where John's head is and where he thinks he is, I mean, I would assume he would come right back and try to get his title back.
Yeah, I guess so. First fight back, though. You might want to take a nice light one. All right. That's me, though.
The problem with this sport, there is no light one.
Exactly. Yeah, that's true.
You know, if you're going to go in there and give it, at least go in and try to get your belt back. It's like everybody was saying, you know, Ronda should have had a tune-up. There are no tune-up fights.
Yeah.
When you break into the top five in the world, everybody's nasty. Everybody's nasty. And what you don't want to lose to is somebody down, you know, 8, 9, 10. Knocks you right out of the top 10 and... You know, it doesn't make sense.
Yeah, I mean, and Cowboy just hurt himself with Masvidal because what were they ranked before they fought? Like, he was ranked...
Like 8 or 9.
Right, and Masvidal was what, like 16 or something like that?
No, I'm saying, Masvidal? I think, wasn't Masvidal in the top 10?
He was 12, sorry. He was 12, and Cerrone was 5.
Masvidal was 12?
Yeah, and Cowboy
and
12. Was
5,
yeah.
See what I'm saying? I think the rankings come out today or tomorrow, and that's going to hurt Cowboy.
Man, it's going to help Jorge, though.
Absolutely. All right. Well, Dana, we thank you, man. It's always good talking to you, and thanks for covering everything.
Always a pleasure.
All right, buddy. All right. We will talk to you soon, okay?
I'll be seeing you
soon.
Have
a great day, guys.
All right, thanks.
All right, buddy.
Take care.
Bye.
All right, man.
Oh, my God. It's great.
That's always great when he comes on. That is phenomenal.
It's the honesty that he talks with.
Amen.
And this is why, like, this is the difference between him and other guys that run sports. Like, literally, and people, you guys listening can't see us. But while Dana is talking, we are literally just sitting here looking at each other like, Jesus Christ. Like, Amen. He really is not holding back. That's kind of, it's a relief, you know, to not have to, well, what about, you know, you just ask and you get your answer.
You don't beat around the bush.
Oof. Not at all.
Don't tell you.
He did not. He did not.
Dude, I've been holding a piss in for so long.
All right, we're done, man. It's an hour and 40 minutes.
I'll tell you, man. We were talking today.
Yeah, I think
this actually flew by because we had such a good time.
Yeah.
You know?
Thank you to Dennis Bermudez.
I guess, you know what? I think we're going to start next one. We're going to keep people in suspense because I want them to listen to the next episode.
Yeah.
I do. So I'm going to keep the movie minute for next time. We're going to start off, or we'll have it in there about True Romance. And if anybody wants to see it until then, I recommend it for sure. But True Romance, it's a movie. When did that come out, Chris, the producer?
Oh, I don't know. I'd be guessing.
By the way, and people are going to say, why did you ask about Connor? I had a couple of Connor questions on the list, but like literally I'm just Connored out. Like everything's been answered.
Dude,
like, I just wanted to talk about other shit, so I'm sorry if people wanted to hear about that. I just can't do it.
We had a lot of stuff to talk about. When did that True Romance movie come out?
1993.
What a good movie.
It certainly
is. We're
going to
talk about that next time.
Yes, and the guy from that movie I did a scene with.
Who's that?
Oh,
well, let's keep that. Everybody in suspense.
Write that down.
Hey, what plugs do you got?
I have no plugs. Listen to Jim Norton and Sam Roberts, 8 to 11 East Coast, Monday through Friday on Sirius XM. I had a great, great time with Sam. And people are asking for you to come back.
I was about to, now you knew I was going
to
ask.
We would love to have you back.
All right. We're going to set that up.
Oh, Dana sent a picture of his bull. That's a euphemism.
I thought you said it's balls. Like, what are you doing? Also, anybody that's listening to this podcast right now, because I know there's people listening
that did not,
Jimmy, leave a comment and a rating. They didn't do it.
I know.
Could you, Christopher Producer, could you please politely ask people to do that?
Yeah, guys, it'd be really nice if you went on iTunes, subscribe to the show, leave a nice rating, leave a nice comment, let Jimmy and Matt know how they're doing.
All right, don't preach too much to them, Chris. Okay, I just want to make sure. All right, no, that's good you did that. All right, listen, Jimmy, you texting?
I am, yeah.
What are you writing? I like your bowl, Dana.
I'm shooting something tomorrow.
Oh.
And I have the premiere of a movie that I have a teeny part in.
Oh.
But I can't go to my movie premiere.
What movie is it?
It's The Comedian with Robert De Niro. Oh, I have a teeny part, but I can't go to the premiere because I got to shoot something. Bummed out.
That's upsetting. Look at my face right now. What does that look like?
Looks like every woman I try to hit on.
Oh.
Just disappointed, like they kind of want to shit.
Yeah. All right. I got to use the restroom.
All right, listen. Let's wrap up. But first.
What?
I just wanted to say what a joy.
Oh, the podcast.
Oh,
you're prolonging
today.
Things. I gotta go. I'm clinching. Everybody, thank you so much. Leave a rating.
One or two.
I think I gotta do a three. Bye, everybody.
Listen, first.
Oh, no. Are you leaving? Okay.
Yeah, bye.
Bye-bye.
This has been a digital media production. Find your voice.
The longest field goal ever attempted is 76 yards. The longest field goal ever missed? Also 76 yards. Why bring this up? Because knowing your limits matters, both when you're kicking a field goal and when you gamble. Betting more than you're comfortable with is like trying a 70-yard field goal. It probably won't go well. So set a limit when you gamble and stick to it. Want more helpful tips like this? Go to keepitfunohio.com for games, quizzes, and lots of ways to keep your gambling from getting out of hand.